it's a beautiful piece of scripture here. So verse 9 of Philippians 1, he says, "And I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." So tonight I want to focus on that phrase, the fruits of righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for this time in your word, that you would use it in our lives and encourage us through it. And Lord, may it be our desire that we grow as well spiritually, as we see how Paul wanted this church to grow. And I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in this time and guide us. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, he shared his great love for the church, and now he's sharing his desire that they grow in their faith. And he's got four basic things here that he wants to see in their growth. And the first one, of course, which is very typical, is he wants their love to grow. Amen? He wants us, Jesus said, that is number one, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." The Apostle John, same thing in his epistle, talked over and over again how important it is that we love one another, that we show charity. And he said, "I want your love to abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Now that word judgment there, the usage of it is talking more about discernment, which he wants us to grow, in our love to grow and abound in knowledge and in all judgment. Notice 1 Thessalonians 3:12, if you would. And this has been his desire for all of his churches, that they would abound in their love. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Notice Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, "My desire is that you increase and abound in love, not only toward one another, but toward all men." So again, he's reminding the churches how important it is that they grow. He's in 2 Thessalonians, turn there, chapter 1, verse 3. He shares a similar sentiment, talking again to the church at Thessalonica, but this time in the second epistle, chapter 1, verse 3, says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." So Paul said, your testimony that's come back to me of the church at Thessalonica is that your love, your charity is abounding. And this is what God wants for all of us, that our love would abound yet more and more in knowledge. Of course, the more that we understand the word, the more that we understand Jesus, the more we understand how important it is that we love one another as God loves us. And as we know, love is action. And he also wants that to grow in discernment as well. And of course, that comes through the word of God. As we know, Hebrews chapter 5, that the meat causes us to discern both good and evil. So the first thing he wants them to do and wants to see is that their love abounds, that their love just keeps increasing and growing. Then in verse 10, that they be sincere. Notice he says that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere. It also means like to be honest. And of course, God wants this from all of his children, doesn't he? And he wants this church to grow. He wants them to be more loving, but he also always wants them to be honest. Look at Romans 12:17. Honest and sincere, very similar traits. But notice Romans 12:17, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." And then Ephesians 4:25, quickly if you would. Ephesians 4:25. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." So God wants them to, and of course this is all tied together. Love is action. So if you lie, that's the opposite of love, isn't it? But always be honest, always tell the truth. And in verse 10 as well, chapter 1, without offense. Again, love is action. Do your best not to offend. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 6:3, give no offense in anything. And then 1 Corinthians 8:12, if you want to turn there quickly. 1 Corinthians 8:12, God says we must be careful not to wound the conscience of weaker Christians. 1 Corinthians 8:12, but when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Again, that's all part of love, isn't it? It's all part of abounding in love, that we be honest and sincere, that we be without offense. But chapter 1, verse 11 is where I was headed tonight, because he says, I want you to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now, we are always bearing fruit. The question is our fruit the fruit of righteousness, or is it our own fruit? Is it the fruit of the old wicked man? We all know that this fruit is impossible outside of Christ. Amen. Look at John 15 and we'll see this. But this fruit of righteousness is, as we will see, it's both internal and external. This outgrowing or outpouring of the righteousness that we have through Jesus Christ, God wants fruit from that, and it affects our internal person and how we treat others. Notice John 15, verse 4, where Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Paul says, I want you to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. We can't bear fruit outside of Christ, not fruit of righteousness anyway. Down in verse 16 of John 15, he says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So as we think about this fruit, we all know that the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Galatians 5. And other places he talks about fruit. But if you look at it, like I say, it's really two different things. One is internal and one is external. So let's start by talking about the external. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And as far as external, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Then the Bible talks about kindness, meekness, forbearance. These are the fruits that we will bear in how we treat one another. Notice Colossians 1:10, if you would. If we are relying on Jesus for the bearing of the fruit, it's going to be a fruit of righteousness. It's going to be God's fruit. And it's going to impact how we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to be loving, long-suffering, gentle, good, kind, meek, and forbearing. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's always this connection between knowledge and fruit, isn't there, or good works. And then 2 Peter 1, if you would turn there for us. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. It says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying, this is what he wants us to bear. This is some of the fruit he wants us to bear. Now, some of these I already listed as the external, but let's now talk about the internal. The fruit of the Spirit is also joy. Amen. That's internal. Peace. That's internal. Peace of God that passes all understanding. Faith. Temperance, which is self-control. And then, of course, there's others. Gratitude, contentment, patience. And then, if you would, look at Isaiah 32, verse 17. Very interesting statement about these fruits of righteousness. Isaiah 32, verse 17. And it adds two other things here, the internal, and that's quietness and assurance. Notice Isaiah 32, 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. I love that word assurance. So many Christians don't have it, do they? They don't have the assurance of their salvation, the assurance that God is with them all the time, no matter what. And this quietness, didn't the Bible say, be still and know that I am God? Psalm 46, 10. Confidence and assurance. Paul even said to the Philippians in verse 6, right? Being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So what is his desire? That they be filled with the fruits of righteousness. That they be filled with them, which can only come, as it says there in verse 11, which are by Jesus Christ. They can only come through Jesus Christ. So he wants us to have the fruit, love, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, meekness, forbearance, and the internal too, the joy, the peace, the faith, the temperance, the gratitude, the contentment and patience, and as we just read here, quietness and assurance. And all this fruit, if it's displayed in our lives and it comes from Jesus Christ, down in verse 11 of Philippians 1, what does it lead to? Glory and praise to God. Amen? If the fruit's coming from God and it's the fruit of righteousness, it ultimately gives glory to God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Amen? Matthew 5:16. It will bring glory and praise to God if we bear the fruits of righteousness. But they have to be the fruits of righteousness. If we try to generate them on our own, waste of time. They can only come from our Lord who has moved in and given us his righteousness. And if we will do this, these are the things that will happen in our lives. And this is what Paul said, I want from you, Philippians. I want you to abound in your love. And I want you to, as you love, I want you to be honest, I want you to be sincere. But I want you to be filled with the fruits of righteousness unto the glory and praise of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So he wanted them to be filled. He wants us to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. External evidence that we already have righteousness in Jesus and that we're leaning on him for the fruit will be these things. They will naturally occur as we yield to him and as the Spirit is in control. The fruits of righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this precious truth from your word, and that it is so possible that we bear these fruits as we lean on you, Lord. As you said, without you, we can do nothing. But with you and with your help, as we tap into the vine, these things are possible. And I pray that that would be our desire, Lord, that we would be a fruit-bearing Christian and show these fruits of righteousness in our daily walk, in our daily lives, internal and external. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you in Jesus' name.